It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Okay, let's read the following verse. Matthew 20, verse 24.
And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister.
When all other disciples, they heard it, and they got a little bit upset. Why the John and James want to sit right and left, and why we didn't get a chance? But Jesus already said to these people in a parable, first will be the last, and last will be the first. It can happen to many. Then Jesus Christ gives the example. He says, in this world, there are kings, there are princes, and they have more authority, and they always give some commandments which people sometimes do not like. And why he said the Gentile kings? At that time, there was no Jewish king. There was no king in Israel at that particular time. If you know, there was a first king, was Saul. And that time, the Samuel was the one who was a priest and prophet and taking care of the children of Israel. But the children of Israel said, we need a king. And so Samuel thought, they don't like me, that's why they are saying it. He went to God and said, Lord, they are asking a king. God said, they are not mad at you, but they are rejecting me as their king. Tell them what king will do. He will take your children, he will take your land, he will take the taxes, and he will send your children to war. All of these things you tell the Israeli people. And he told them, and they said, we want a king. And that's the way they got the first king, and his name was Saul. But today we are not learning about the kings. But if you study, that king did not do the will of God. So the point I'm making, Jesus Christ was saying to these people, these Gentile kings, they want authority, they want power, and they do not treat people equally, or they don't treat people nice. And so, indirectly he was saying, why do you want to be a king, or why you want to be a bigger than somebody else? He said, if you want to be somebody big, you should be minister. Means ministering to people, serving the people, and doing the humble service to mankind. Let's read further. Matthew 20:27.
And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many.
Okay, now here Jesus Christ is saying, if you want to be chief, if you want to be in higher authority, you should be a servant. That's why Jesus Christ was giving an example what kind of servant you should be. Many people want the higher authority job. Even the today's we see prime ministers and ministers, and people see they are in a great position. But actually, they're supposed to be servant of the people. And they want the big name and big authority. Jesus Christ gave them a good example. He said, I came into this world not to take service from you, but to give service to you, not only that, to give my life for the mankind. So indirectly he was saying, that's the kind of service you should be doing to humanity. Let's go and read St. John chapter 13 and start reading from verse 3.
Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not, save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you.
Okay, now hear what Jesus Christ is giving an example. First of all, he said in verse 3, God has given me all authority. I came from God. I'm going to go to God. So indirectly, he was saying, I am God. I am your master. And I came here to minister to you. And then he washed their feet. And he said, washing the feet is not going to clean your heart or cleanse you. But why he was doing, he said, I am setting an example that you should be humbling yourself and serving one another. You should not be saying, I am boss over you and I'm a big person and you're a small person. Many churches today, they are thinking this kind of ritual we should be doing in our church. And they do not understand why Jesus said to his disciples to do this kind of service, to humble themselves. Washing somebody's feet is the humblest job. In those days, the people were not even wearing the shoes and sandals. Sometimes they walked on dirty streets. And when they come home, they have to wash their feet. And so washing those dirty feet was not an easy task. That was humbling yourself. Today we are living in a modern society. We have shoes. We have socks. And if we set a day to wash your feet, maybe December 31st or January 1st, what you will do? Will you come with the dirty, smelly feet? You will surely wash your feet several times. You will put brand new socks and you will come to feet washing service. And that defeats the purpose and people feel uncomfortable. Some of the people may not come for the feet washing service. Why? They may not have good socks. They may not have good shoes. Some of the feet has funguses and some kind of diseases. And so they never want to come to feet washing service. And so this became a ritual. And it doesn't do any good to mankind or even believers. And so I tell people, this is a ritual and it's not helping you. What we should be doing, helping one another, and finding their needs and doing the service to people. That is much better than washing the feet. Jesus Christ said, you do not understand now, but you will understand later. What he was trying to say, I'm going to set an example. I am your master. I am your God, but I humble myself to wash your feet. So when you are in a big position, you should not be sitting on a throne and thinking other people are not valuable to you. I went to many, many churches, and I want to shake hands with a big pastor or tell them the story, what God has done. Some of the pastors said, will you excuse me? I have to change my clothes. Or some people say, could you write me a letter when I am just in front of them? And many people try to think they are so big and you cannot talk to them. When you call them, they will not take the telephone call. They will take their secretaries to take their phone calls. And sometimes they will never return your calls. And so there are big, big organizations, million-dollar businesses, and they do not care about the little person. But God taught me a lesson that when I am serving the Lord, I am serving the humanity. I am serving the little ones. Jesus Christ said, if you do it for the little ones, you have did it for me. Helping hungry person, visiting the prisoners, helping the widows and homeless or orphans, that's the great ministry. Some people are doing it. And so point I'm making, that's the kind of service the believers supposed to do. Help one another. Help them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. But some people are thinking they are too big and they cannot come to the level of some poor brother. And that's why Jesus Christ was saying, and at those churches, I have seen some of the big churches have feet washing service. And when you observe the service, the pastor will take the water and towel and just touch their feet on the top of their feet and may not wash everything and just walk away. And just for the name's sake, they are doing this, but it's not a love or not a humbleness in the service. So I think this kind of service is ritual, but not doing for the glory of God. So the word of God was saying, you should humble yourself and serve one another. Let's go further and read Matthew chapter 20, verse 29.
And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them, and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them, and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him.
Now see what happened here. He already gave the lecture to his disciples, and they learned the humbleness from Jesus Christ. And now they are coming, and they're passing the Jericho. There are two blind men sitting and crying and shouting. They are saying, O Lord, have mercy on us, O son of David. And I don't know who told them he is the son of David, but they heard about Jesus. They heard that Jesus Christ is a healer. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. And he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they want Jesus Christ to have mercy on them. And so they crying loud, and the multitude said, please, they did not use the word please, but they say, stop it, don't shout. And when you say multitude, means most of the people did not want this blind man to be healed. And why those multitude were following Christ? Jesus Christ says many people followed for the food because he did the miracle. So they were following him to get bread. Some people were following him to get healed, and many people were healed, but they did not want these blind people to be healed. So see how selfish people are. They want to be blessed themselves. They don't want other people to be blessed. When you go to church, you don't ask your neighbor, why you didn't go to church today? Can I give you a ride to church? Would you like to come and visit our church? No. Everyone wants to go to church and have a good time. I heard one man came to my church and said, you know, my wife was getting ready. She did not get ready on time, so I came myself. I said to him, sir, you should have patience. You should have waited for her, or you should have helped her in household work, so she should have time to come with you. But you are so selfish. You want God's blessing. You don't want your wife to be blessed. And there are so many people are doing today. They want blessings. They don't want other people to be blessed. They didn't want these blind people to be healed. And they were concerned about their noise. They did not want to hear the noise. But the word of God says, Jesus stood still. He did not move until those people be blessed. So he called them and they came to him and he asked them a question. What should I do for you? Now somebody is listening to this. They will say Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Doesn't he know that these blind people need the eyes? But you will be surprised. Many blind people do not need eyes. And I met so many. Some people came and I prayed for them. And they received sight. But some people I asked and they said, I don't want sight. One person told me, I don't want sight because when I had sight, I was doing so many mischiefs and I was going to hell. But now I'm blind. I'm sold out to Jesus. I do not want sight. That's one. And another person I asked, he said, I don't want sight because now I have 7 buildings. I just begged and got these buildings. My children are studying in colleges and they are big, big officers and big jobs. They are telling me, we are ashamed of you that you are begging. But he said, by begging, I got these properties and I try to give you the best education. And so he did not want to be healed. And there are so many people in India and some other countries, they are making their children deform, blind, or twist their hand or feet and make them deform so they can beg the money for them. And so Jesus Christ just wanted to let the whole world know, whatever you want, you should ask God. The word of God says God will give the desires of your heart. You should be asking God specifically what you want. And as soon as they said, we want our sight, we want to see, Jesus touched their eyes and healed them. And the word of God says, as soon as they were healed, they followed Christ. Can you imagine? These blind people did not say, I want to go and see my mom, see my wife, see my children, and I want to go and do something else. But they decided to follow Christ. And so Christ knew, these people, they are going to follow me. They are going to tell somebody what Jesus Christ has done. So what I'm trying to say, if God has chosen you, if God has called you, what is your job? To tell somebody about Jesus, to minister to other people, not to offending them, not to shutting them off, but ask them what we can do for them. If the phone call comes, what we're supposed to say, what can I do for you? May I help you? What is your need? We are here to assist people and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There are people dying without God and without Christ, and there are so many Christians just walk away and try to tell them, shut up. We don't want to hear your needs. We are busy in our things. Let's take some time and think about the people who are dying without God and without Christ. We are here to help them. Jesus Christ said, many are called, but few are chosen. Let's pray that we should be chosen by God. And let's do the job that Jesus Christ wanted to do. In St. John chapter 14, verse 12, the Word of God says, Jesus said that I'm going to my Father. Whatever the miracles I did, you do also. And you do greater miracles than I, because I'm going to go to my Father. So what the Jesus Christ was saying, he did not say, if you do more miracles, you will be greater than me. He says, I want you to do more. If your son or your daughter are doing better than you, you should not be jealous. Jesus Christ set an example. And today people do not believe that we can do greater things than Jesus did. But if you read in the book of Acts, chapter 5, Peter's shadow was falling on people and people got healed. Jesus never claimed to be falling his shadow on somebody and people got healed. Paul sent handkerchiefs to many and the demon-possessed people were healed and sick people were healed. Jesus never sent any handkerchief to anybody. Jesus traveled on the donkey. We are traveling in train and car and a speedy airplanes. So we are supposed to do a great works. And there are many of his servants that are doing it. So let's pray and ask God to give us a chance to follow you and do your ministry, just like these blind people followed you. Let's pray.
We are in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, starting from verse 1.
And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples.
Please start again. Please.
And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them.
This story you can read in Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 10, Luke chapter 19, verses 29 to 38, John chapter 12, verses 12 to 15. And so in this chapter, Matthew chapter 21, Jesus sends two disciples and gives them the directions, go and you will find the colt tied, loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, just say, Master has the need, or the Lord has the need. But one day one man came to me, he was a Hindu, and he said, Do you know your Jesus teaches people to steal? Because here he says, go and get the donkey. Thank God I knew the Bible. It's recorded in three different chapters. Mark chapter 11 verses 4 to 6 and Luke chapter 19 verses 32 and 34. If you read these two passages, Mark says when they were loosing the colt, someone asked them, why are you doing this? And they said, Lord has a need. But the Luke said, those people were asking the question, they were the owners. And so when I told this man, see, they were not stealing, but the owners were there and they got the permission and then they got the donkey. Here we see there are so many people studying the Bible to find the mistakes, what the Bible is teaching. But our Bible is very accurate. Here when Jesus Christ told them to go and bring the colt, and they went and they bought it, but the Word of God says this was written and that has to happen. Verse 4.
All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass.
When you say it is written, in those days they didn't have the reference Bible. But thank God we have the reference Bible. And we know where it is written. Go to the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass.
Now see, Matthew and Zechariah says the same thing. Colt and his mother, they were tied there, and both of them were released, and both of them, they were brought to Jesus Christ. All other Gospels like Mark, Luke, and John, they will say colt, and no man sat any time on that, and that's the kind of colt they were looking. But here he says, in Zechariah as well as Matthew, the both mother and the baby were taken. You can see this colt was a brand new colt. No one sat on him. Why Jesus Christ wanted this colt? And even the Zechariah said, Jesus Christ is humble, and he had chosen the humble animal, the animal which doesn't have any respect in the community. So the Jesus Christ has taken the humble, hardworking animal which doesn't have any popularity or no fame. That's the kind of animal Jesus Christ has taken. If you see in Indian cultures, their gods were riding on the tigers and lions and elephants and big birds and things like that. But Jesus Christ has taken the humble animal. And then we see what happens when he sits on that donkey, and the donkey gets lots of respect. Let's keep on reading. Go back to the Matthew chapter 21 and start reading from verse 6.
And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way.
Wherever Jesus went, all the multitudes of people were following Jesus Christ. And when they saw donkey and Jesus Christ sitting on the donkey, I don't know these people knew this prophecy, only Jesus knew, and some of the disciples might know. And so when they bought the donkey, most of the people start putting their garments under the donkey's feet, and they took some branches and start putting under the feet and holding in their hand and saying Hosanna. I don't know they knew what they were doing, but they were doing exactly what the people used to do for the kings, and they used to do in the Feast of the Tabernacle. And that time they would take the fruit branches and things like that, and they will wave it.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.